Well, most of you have seen that video about the new building before. Dwayne's basketball shot goes like this. Did you see it? Gets funnier every time. Obviously, he doesn't know how to play the game. Well, I show you that for a couple of reasons. Firstly, that was May this year. And we're now in November and about to move in. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God amazing? In case you haven't heard, we're moving. We're not in the basketball court. In 4 weeks' time, on the 9th of December, we'll be in Balcatta. 9:30 a.m., 5 p.m. Can you believe it? All praise to our God. He is so kind, so amazing. He's done it. At every step, he has said yes. But there's another reason we're talking about the building this morning. As we move into our own permanent facility, something bigger, something better, we're in danger. We're in massive danger. Here's our danger: to make very good things the most important thing. Do you get it? Our danger as we move into this big, better, comfy building is to make very good things the most important thing. God's going to push us this morning to look beyond the here and now to the forever. Our context as a church is moving into a bigger, better, brighter building. But it's for all of us at any point in our lives. Here's the question: how can you make an eternal difference? How can you and I make a mark on history in this world that lasts forever? As a church, we're moving. How can we keep our focus on the most important thing? Now, don't hear me wrong. Making a difference here and now is a good thing. Feeding the poor is a good thing. Making coffees for people is a good thing. We can do lots of good things with this new building. Praise God. But surely, if we could play a part in seeing people live after they die, surely, if we could see people live forever, surely that would be our most important thing, wouldn't it? Surely that would be the thing that we do everything else for. And God says, yes, you and I can make an eternal difference. The passage this morning, Jesus uses a very simple illustration: the vine and some branches. Last year we actually preached on this, and you might remember that I showed you my passion fruit vine in my backyard. And now I'm not trying to boast, but last year the vine was okay. But this year it's gone nuts. Have a look here. Here's the passion fruit vine. It has gone bonkers. Now, I'm not a gardener. I haven't actually touched it. But it's done that. It's gone crazy. Last year, we had some decent growth. If you'd seen it when I planted it, you'd think, wow, that's pretty good. This year, it's off the charts. Fruit is growing everywhere. My wife loves me more because she loves passion fruit. It's all good in the Malcolm household. Happy wife, no strife. The vine is growing. It's taking over. Branches are growing, flowers are everywhere, and fruit is coming. So the simple point: just like this vine grows and extends its branches and produces fruit, so Jesus Christ is growing and extending his eternal blessing across the whole world. The question for us is, how can I be a part of it? Because surely if you could, you would, right? Surely if you could play a part in seeing people live even after they're dead, you'd jump on board, wouldn't you? Nothing else would matter. Jesus is going to tell us how we can play our part in seeing more and more people live forever. We're in the beginning of John chapter 15, where in the historical account of Jesus Christ, and we find ourselves in the middle of a very important chat Jesus is having with his disciples. Up until now in John's Gospel, if you've read it before, you'll know that Jesus has shown himself to be nothing less than God in human flesh, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. He's turned water into wine. He's made crippled people walk. He's made blind people see. He's even raised people from the dead. And all along, he's been teaching that he is the one the Old Testament was promising would come. He is the king who would come and rule and save his people. And now we find ourselves in this little chat about what happens next. Last few weeks we've been in John 14, and if you haven't been here, here's the big idea: don't worry. Jesus says to his disciples, don't worry, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to die on the cross for your sins. Don't worry, I'm going to send another. Dougal reminded us, another just like the other. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's just like me. Listen to him as you hear my words. And yes, I'm leaving physically, but I'm going to send you another helper, the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the chapter, he repeats it. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not like the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. And then there's this shift. Chapter 15, we have this shift from, don't worry, I'm going to sort it out, to, do get on with producing fruit that lasts. You see the shift? From don't worry, I'm going to sort it out, to do get on with producing fruit that lasts. And we get it. It's a very simple picture, the vine and the branches. And it answers our big question. How can you and I make an eternal difference? Firstly, we see Jesus is the true, eternal, fruit-bearing life source. Have another look at verse 1. He says it for us. Verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Spells it out in verse 5, flick down there. It says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So easy, I get it. Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the gardener. He owns the whole thing. And his disciples are the branches. Simple. You might be tempted to think, okay, got it. That makes sense. In all likelihood, they are walking past some vineyards, I think. Chapter 14, right at the end, he says, rise, let us go. That is, he's been teaching in a house, and now they're on the move. And in those days, you're walking down the road, there's vineyards. So is Jesus just saying, hey, man, see that vine over there? I'm like that to you. You're like the branches. Do you get it, guys? Is that it? No, that's not it. It's much deeper than that. Jesus says, I am the true vine. We hear that, got it. Move on, what does that mean for me? But don't move on too quickly. Jesus here is claiming to be the only channel for God's eternal blessings to the whole world. It's a big claim, isn't it? You see, in the Old Testament, it builds it up. You know what the Old Testament is, right? We get the context for Jesus. It's the way we understand who Jesus is and what he came to do. It's preparation for Jesus. So when Jesus says, I'm the true vine, we're supposed to think, oh yeah, the true vine. God has already told us about that. Have a look. Hosea chapter 10 on the screen. Israel, that's God's people in the Old Testament, was a spreading vine that yields its fruit. As his fruit increased, he built altars. As his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. See, God's people in the Old Testament were God's vine, and they were to spread and be God's blessing across the whole world. Over and over again, they're called the vine. They're supposed to bear good fruit, but they don't. Have a look at Jeremiah chapter 2. This is what God says of his people. I planted you like a choice vine and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? God planted his people like a vine, and they were supposed to spread across the whole world with his eternal blessings. But what happened? They turned wild, corrupted. They turned away from him. For they were fruitless. Bad vine, bad fruit. Not a good picture. But the Old Testament doesn't leave us there. It gives us a picture of a good vine. Gives us a promise of a good vine. Have a look at Isaiah 27. This is what God says. In that day, a pleasant vineyard. Sing of it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. Every moment I water it, lest anyone punish it. I keep it night and day. I have no wrath. Would that I had thorns and briars to battle. I would march against them. I would burn them up together. Or let them lay hold of my protection. Let them make peace with me. Let them make peace with me. And here's the big one. In days to come, what's going to happen? Jacob, that's God's Old Testament people, shall take root. Israel, again, God's Old Testament people, shall blossom and put forth shoots and do what? Fill the whole world with fruit. Do you see what God is saying? He's promising to send a vine. He's promising to send good fruit. There will be no wrath against this vine. He will water this vine. He will tend the vine day and night. He'll do what I didn't do with my passion fruit vine at all. Do you see? And the vine comes from where? His people. And into that context, Jesus steps and he says, I am the true vine. I am the true, fruitful vine that God's Old Testament people were supposed to be. The church doesn't replace Israel, doesn't replace God's people. Jesus does. He's saying, I'm the only true channel for God's eternal blessing to the whole world. And later, Jesus actually tells us in John 15 what the fruit is. You did not choose me. This is Jesus. But I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Fruit that will last. Jesus is the only eternal fruit-bearing life source. So here's my passion fruit vine. There it is. Without the vine, what happens to the branches? They die, don't they? A branch cannot survive without a vine. Here's a close-up of the vine. Well, you can't really see it, but there's a vine there and there's some branches coming off it. The vine is the life source, right? The branches receive from the vine. The branches don't give life to the vine. The vine gives life to the branches. Do you get it? Simple, isn't it? Jesus is the true vine that gives life to the branches. So if you're not a Christian, can you see what God's saying to you this morning? It's great to have you here at church. If you're not a Christian, you can't have life without Jesus. You can't have life without, you might even flower for a little while, but soon you'll wither and die like a branch that's not attached to the vine. Just like that branch needs the vine to live, you need Jesus to live forever. So take some time to investigate him. Whatever you do, don't leave here without seeing. Just like a branch needs a vine to live, you need Jesus Christ to live forever. If you're a Christian, then can you see what God's saying to us this morning? He is on the move. He is on the move. The vine is growing rapidly across the world. There's a massive movement of God at work. You might not be able to see it, but lift your eyes. Have a look. God is at work amongst the world, giving eternal life to people. So that passion fruit vine in my backyard, that's not really the best picture. It doesn't cut it. What it needs to be is a huge world with a vine wrapping around it, which I couldn't find. I didn't really look for it. But huge vine wrapping around the whole world and fruit just appearing absolutely everywhere. That's what's going on. And can you see the only way that you and I will participate, will produce any eternal fruit, is by remaining in the only true life source. The only way for you to do it. That's our second point. We must remain in Jesus to produce eternal fruit. Have another look at verse 3, what Jesus says here. Very clear from verse 3 of John 15. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but you must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch thrown away and withers. Do you see how you make an eternal difference? Jesus tells us, very simple, remain in me. To remain is to be united, superglued, joined together and growing in. A branch that's cut off the vine will never grow and bear fruit, will it? My flowers won't turn into a passion fruit. Why? It's not attached to the vine. Verse 4, remain in me and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is life-changing. An eternally fruitful life now only comes by remaining in the one true way eternal life goes to the whole world. And his name is Jesus Christ. So what does this mean for us? I've got five practical things to finish up with. Five things. Here we go. Firstly, the word of Jesus is the way to eternity. The word of Jesus is the way to eternity. You see it, verse 4. Jesus tells us, verse 3, sorry. Already you are clean because of what? The word that I have spoken to you. So, a person joins the eternal life of the true vine by hearing the words of Jesus Christ and allowing him to cleanse you. So let's stop. What's the obvious and vital question here? Am I joined to the vine? Are you joined to the vine? How do I know? Have you heard the words of Jesus? And have you been made clean? It's that simple. Have you heard the sweet, sweet, life-changing words of Jesus Christ saying, forgiven? Saying, I have died for your sins. I have given you eternal life. Have you heard the words of freedom from sin, from guilt, from shame? Have you heard the sweet words of the Savior saying to you, I have made you clean. Your sins are washed away by my blood. Have you heard those sweet words and been made clean? If that is you, then you are attached to the life source, God's only eternal fruit-bearing life source, Jesus Christ. If you're not sure, this is massive. Don't leave here without working it out. Jesus is saying, if you are not attached to him, if you haven't allowed him and his words to cleanse your sins, then you cannot and will not have eternal life. It's that simple. I could cut a branch off my passion fruit vine. Last year I did. I brought it in. I put it on a thing. I thought, oh, you did it last year, Matt, so don't do it again. But just tell them about it. So I'm telling you about it. If I cut off a branch from my passion fruit vine and put it in a vase and it has a flower on it, it looks all right for a while, right? I don't like cut flowers. They smell. But say it's in there, and you put it, and you put it in the vase. Oh, it's lovely, it's pretty. For a little while. Then what happens? It withers and dies, and I quickly throw it in the garbage bin before it stinks. Is that you? You don't want to be that. Is that you? You need to be attached to the life source. And the way you do it is to hear the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, the way to make an eternal difference is to keep going in Jesus. Did you see? Very clear from verse 4, remain in me and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You can't do it if you're in a vase. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Keep going in Jesus. Keep being united to him in his words. It means keep going. A Christian isn't someone who just comes to trust Jesus and is forgiven of all their sins. That's not a Christian. A Christian is someone who has come to trust Jesus and is forgiven of all their sins and keeps trusting Jesus and growing in him. My passion fruit vine grows as the vine feeds the branches. God's kingdom grows as Jesus feeds and grows his people, as they go, taking out his words to the world as they keep going. The way to make an eternal difference is to keep going, remaining in him. The way to keep going, number three, the way to keep going in Jesus is to remain in his word and prayer. Did you see it? You may have skipped over it. Verse 7. Jesus tells us very clearly. Verse 7, if you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Do you see? My words remain in you. Ask. My words to you, you asking of me. That's the Bible and prayer. That's word and prayer. God's words to you, your words to him. See, how does a passion fruit vine produce fruit? Any botanists here? I'm not a botanist, but I can see somehow, miraculously, there's a flow going on, isn't there? There's a flow from the vine to the branches. I can't see it, you can't see it, but it happens. There's nutrients flowing from the vine to the branches. I go to sleep, I wake up, and there's fruit on my passion fruit vine. It's amazing. There's a flow going on. Remaining in Jesus, to keep going in Jesus, you must keep going in his word and prayer. That's the spiritual nutrients. That's the way you remain. That's the way you grow. So if you want to have an eternally fruitful life, then grow in your reading of the word and your prayer life. Ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. That's not get whatever you want whenever you want it. That's pray in line with my words. Pray remaining in my words. So if you're not bearing fruit as a Christian, do you see what this is? The first place to look is your Bible reading and your prayer life. Matt, I don't really think about eternity much. What can I do? How's your Bible reading and your prayer life? Matt, my marriage isn't really focused in Jesus and we don't really talk about eternity. How's your Bible reading and your prayer life with your wife? Matt, my kids don't care about Jesus and they don't want to know about eternity. How's your Bible reading and your prayer life with your kids? Not rocket surgery. The way to keep going in Jesus is to remain in his word and prayer. And fourthly, the result of all this. What is the result of all this? Did you see it in verse 8? This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. The end result is the glory of God and our confidence as his people. Did you see it? Branches produce more and more fruit as we grow in Jesus ourselves, as more and more people come to him. God is seen to be God, glorious, almighty, and we are seen to be his people. What's the point? What's the purpose of all this? The point is not us. A big building, a better building, is not for you. Did you hear that? It's not for me. A bigger, better building is not to make us more comfortable. It isn't to make us more happy. It is so that more and more people come from death to life by coming to the only eternal life source, Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. And that'd be a good place to finish, wouldn't it? Always good to finish with God and his glory. But we've missed one thing. There's just one thing. Why does it hurt so much? Why does bearing eternal fruit hurt so much? It's not easy. It'd be much easier not to care about eternity, wouldn't it? Life would go on, less painful, just live it, and that's it. Why does making an eternal difference come with pain and difficulty? Here's the reason. Lastly, God prunes away the world in us to produce more eternal fruit through us. God prunes away the world in us to produce more eternal fruit through us. Did you see it? Verse 2. He cuts off every branch of me that does not bear fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, what does he do? He prunes. Why? So that it will be even more fruitful. God prunes away the world in us so that we produce more eternal fruit through us. The reason it hurts so much to do anything for eternity is that God is cutting away sin, he is cutting away the world, he is cutting away absolutely everything that gets in his way so that he can produce more fruit. John Newton, the ex-slave trader, the author of that song Amazing Grace, had a woman in his congregation who had lost her house and all her worldly possessions in a fire. And he went to meet her and he found her in tears and he went to comfort her. And here's what he said. "Madame, I have come to congratulate you." She replied, "What? On the destruction of my property?" "No," he said, "but to hail you on possessing property which nothing can destroy." The reason it hurts so much is that God prunes away the world in us to produce more fruit through us. So what are you going to do? Surely if we could play our part in seeing people live forever, surely if you could see people you know, your friends, your family, your neighbours, even when they die, they live. Surely if that was an option, that would be our most important thing. Let's finish up with this quote again from John Newton. Listen to this. Listen to this amazing quote. "If I am redeemed from misery by the blood of Jesus, by his death, and if he is now preparing a mansion for me near himself, that I may drink of pleasures at his right hand forever, the question is not, how can I pass through life with the least inconvenience? The question is, how may my little span of life be made most subservient to the praise and glory of him who loved me and gave himself for me?"